I haven't done this for a long time. Those of you that are listening by the radio this morning, we want to thank you for turning us in, and we just pray that this radio broadcast will be a blessing to you. Praise God. How many believe that stuff is put in the Bible for a purpose? How many believe that God didn't just fill space? Okay. I'm going to give you a view of the end times that maybe you've never thought about before. I'm going to give you a traditional view. I'm going to give you the church's view. Now, what I'm going to read to you, God put in his Bible for a purpose, so don't discount it and say, you know, I don't believe that. The Word of God is meant to believe, and he didn't put any filler in it. And so there are four events that are coming. Can you stay with me? Four or five? I'm going to write one of my own from the Old Testament. Angie made me feel so bad I had to go back to the Old Testament and start doing some reading. The first thing we're going to talk about is the rapture. I'm not putting these in order. You can put them any order you want. There's a whole, almost two chapters, 4 and 5 of 1 Thessalonians, talking about the rapture. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the tribulation period. I believe in the second coming of Christ. I believe that this world is going to be destroyed and there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. But, you know, that's the only part of the end times people talk about, and the doom and gloom. We're going to close on a different note, so just hang with me for a few minutes. The Bible says this about the rapture. Verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another by these words. If you're out there buying graves, just rent one. Huh? Somebody asked me, well, what if they're cremated? God can't put them. Well, God started with dust. He can start with ashes. Hello? Amen. People want to say, well, cremation is against God. Why? Because it's cheap? Torch me. I don't care once I'm dead. So anyway, I'm not going to spend time on this because most of you know what I'm talking about. The Bible says that trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ is going to rise. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. If that doesn't happen, how do the dead get there besides being there spiritually? Just a thought. Number two, Matthew chapter 24 talks about a tribulation period. Some of you think you're in it already. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. Then we're going to go down to verse 21 through 27. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him and to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Okay? The end of the age means that the time of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled and they're going to go back basically ministering to the Jews. I have a different opinion about the tribulation than a lot of people do. That's okay, but I'm not going to preach it because I'll just confuse some people. But 21 through 27 says this, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now listen to this. There will be great tribulation that the world's never known. You think the Holocaust was little? How many millions of people? 6 million? Died in the Holocaust? So there's coming a period of time, and the Bible says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So there are going to be people coming and saying they're Christ. But when you get to Revelation chapter 6, you see the seals are open. When you get to chapter 8, the angels are sounding trumpets. When you get to chapter 9, there's three woes coming on the earth. When you get to chapter 16, there's the bowls being poured out. Now keep in mind, the devil's not doing that. God is not. God is doing that. I heard somebody say, I'm not going to believe anything in the Bible that teaches me a different nature of God. I want you to look at me. The God of the New Testament was the same God of the Old Testament with a different perspective. Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
There is an Old Testament, which was the law, and there's a New Testament, which is grace. How many understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now, how many of you understand, that a man went out on the Sabbath and picked up sticks, and he was stoned? I don't mean drunk. He was stoned for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. That was God's legal system. Did God change? No. But he brought in a new system. He's always been a God of grace. He's always loved. He's always had this. He was teaching the people the legal system. Hello?
That's right.
And you can say whatever you want, it's the same God.
Amen.
And there will be a change during the tribulation period when God says, enough. The Bible tells us that God has stored up his anger. We don't like that in Revelation, but it's there. The wrath of God. If you don't believe that, you just have to do away with the book of Revelation from your life. But you need to thank God for his grace right now.
Yes.
You need to thank God that he's demonstrating love. But in the tribulation, things change. Hello?
Yes.
Then there's a second coming of Christ. There's a second coming of Christ, Revelation chapter 19. And if when you get there, some of you might want to go back to the book of Zechariah. Verse number 11, 19, "I saw the heavens open, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Who is this? Can't hear you.
Jesus.
Jesus. How many of you ever go, those of you that spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, do you go to Zechariah? Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14. At least you're going to leave here educated, if nothing else, this morning. And behold, the day is coming. The day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. And I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem, and the city will be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Skip down with me to just before verse number 6. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. The Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. Now look at verse 12. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve where they stand on their feet, and their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth. It's not an atomic bomb. It's the presence of Almighty God. God doesn't need bombs. But one day they're all going to explode. Hello? 2 Peter chapter 3. How many still believe the Bible? Sometimes we have to check our theology with what the Bible says. Hello. 2 Peter chapter 3. We there? I want to show you verse 9 in all this. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. God gets no pleasure when people who reject him go to hell. But they're going there. If that didn't wake you up, nothing will. God gets no pleasure. The Bible says God gets no pleasure out of the death of the wicked or the unrighteous, if you want to put that in there. But the day of the Lord, in verse 10 of the same chapter, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it shall be burnt up. Therefore, what manner of people ought you to be, seeing that these things are going to happen? Hello? Revelation 21. I'm giving you a capsule of what the end times, what you have heard and what you think, and the things that you look for in the end times, but there's more than this. I had a message all ready to preach on the blood of Jesus. I sat down at the table this morning, do my devotions, and all of a sudden, boom, God just said, downloaded in my spirit a message that we need to hear. Now, keep in mind, what I'm reading you, I didn't write. Hello? If you have any arguments about the Word of God, talk to the author. Verse 21, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. How many think you have things that you own? You know you're getting set up, don't you? Everything you see right now is going to be changed. Everything. Even your earthly bodies. And so all that we see now, you can drive by tremendous cathedrals, you can drive by luxurious motels, you can drive by all kinds of beautiful stadiums and all kinds of things, they're going to be nothing. Because everything on this earth is going to be dissolved. I didn't write it. So you can look at me funny. I just believe what God says, that he didn't make any exceptions. And I don't need to question what he's writing because he knows. Now, the side of the end times that we don't hear about. Because many of you are waiting for the trumpet to sound or to get out of here or to escape or to be gone. You know, when the first things about end times was spoken, that wasn't in it. Here's how the end times begin. Joel. Now in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. As upon my handmaidens, in that day I will pour out my spirit. Hello? The first mention, when they're getting into the end times in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and preaches. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The end time message can't be just doom and gloom and escapism. Because not God's not taking us out so we can escape.
That's right, amen.
The end time message has to be a message of the Holy Spirit empowering, anointing, touching people, bringing people into the kingdom, allowing people to minister, and empowering them to do the work of God.
Yes, amen.
If you're sitting around waiting to hear a trumpet, you're missing something. I'll let it sink in. Jesus told the story of the man who had the talents. To one he gave five, to one he gave three, and to one he gave one. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
He gave those people the talents and he says, occupy till I come. So I went to the Greek and looked up that word occupy. What does it mean? It means do business. So do business till I come back. I don't think it's any different for us. I think there's people outside these walls who have no hope of heaven, who have no hope of being healed, who have no hope of God, and the church is looking to heaven waiting to go. He's anointed you for a purpose. He's empowered you. He's given you the Holy Spirit. And everything that God wants to do in us, he does through us so that we can touch people's lives. It's amazing. This week, I sat with the Episcopal pastor, I sat with a lawyer, and I sat with another family talking about Jesus. And not one of them said, I don't believe that. I don't, just shut up and don't tell me about Jesus. They want to hear about Jesus. There's people around you that want to hear about Jesus. Sometimes the church has missed a whole generation thinking we're being taken out in 1970. Hello? I'm not picking on anybody. There's a message to be preached. There are people to be saved. There are people to be touched. There are miracles and signs and wonders to do. And that's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we'll be saved. For with the heart belief is made unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Down two verses, I believe. He says, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you a question. How many people have you given up on? How many people do we look at out there and said, well, those park rangers, they can never be saved. Or this one or that group can never be saved. Or that JW or that Mormon or that one there can never be saved. Why? Do you know why? Because we're walking by them, looking at them and saying they'll never be saved.
That's right.
Hello? Or that person can never be healed. That person can never have a good life. You know why? Because we're walking by him saying, I sure wish somebody'd pray for him. Wish somebody'd heal him. Or that person on meth. Or that person possessed. That person that has a demonic problem. We'll look at them and say, well, man, they're just going to be like that the rest of their life. Why? Because we don't take the authority over it and cast them out. There's a life out there in Jesus Christ that's beyond anything we can imagine. And the Apostle Paul lived that life. Hello?
Yes.
So what's the church arguing about? Oh, the extreme grace, or can you lose your salvation, or is this that or that? And we'll argue about that, why people are going to hell that we've never touched. As long as I hold on to my doctrine, I'm going to hold on to my doctrine. I don't care what it says in the Bible. I'm just going to take what I believe. Forget it.
That's right.
Take what you believe and share it with somebody else who can be set free, delivered, anointed, and touched by God.
Amen.
And I don't really care who's preaching something different. Take the good, spit out what's not good. You can find good in everybody.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't mean you have to swallow everything. And so, yes, I believe that all this is happening, we said. But I believe we get so caught up with what's going to happen, we're not into what is happening. There's a message to be preached. There are people to be healed. There are people to be delivered. There are people to see come to Christ. And probably a lot of them are in your family. I called my brother this week. It was his 73rd birthday. Boy, he's old. Last time I sat down at his table and I started talking about Jesus, he said, we don't talk about him here. So we come to the end of our conversation and I said, well, Dave, God bless you. He never hung up on me. I'm going to keep going. Not to bug him. He knows the way of salvation. I believe that we need to get back in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying about the time we live. I believe we need to get back in tune and not contributing everything. Well, don't go out there and do all these works, because these works, nobody ever said the works are useless.
That's right.
Hello?
That's
right. Jesus said you're not saved by them.
That's right.
Doesn't mean we sit with our feet in a recliner the rest of our life and watching people drive by going to hell. Hello? I'm not earning anything from God through works. But I'm sure not doing anything for the kingdom of God sitting on my behind and watching people go to hell.
That's right.
There should, and I'm done. I know. Now you won't even eat my ribs. I know people can look at this and you can take apart anything you want. But I want you to look at something. Did Jesus call you to be a witness or not?
Yes, sir.
Did Jesus call you to be anointed by the Holy Spirit or not?
Yes, sir.
Is that anointing just so I feel good? Did Jesus have a plan and purpose when he gave you the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you know something? There's not a more exciting life in the world than living it empowered by the Holy Spirit for Jesus Christ. I don't get up in the morning looking for something to do to please God. Do you know why? Because he's pleased with his children. But I do look for somebody to minister to. Why? Because that's our mission. You will see power with the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me. You're not witnessing. I'm not witnessing to Kirk. I'm witnessing to Jesus. Hello? Peter and John saw at least 5,000 people come to Christ because they saw a lame man, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they healed him. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm not sitting in my recliner even when I hit 80 or 90 or 100 and you got to carry me up here so I can stand and preach to you.
Amen.
It's like Gypsy Lee Smith said, I'm going to hit the devil, I'm going to kick the devil, I'm going to do everything I can against his kingdom. And when I'm old and I can't do any more and I lost my teeth, I'll gum him to death.
Amen.
He's not a co-worker. He's an enemy.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
And if you don't believe it, look how he tried to mess up your lives. And so praise God for end time messages that are positive about ministering through the work of the Holy Spirit. And keep on being busy because one day the rest will happen.
Yes.
But God never told us to sit around and wait for it.
That's right.
Amen.